from the Star Rental Sports Desk. Your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
2 o'clock headlines brought to you by Buddy's Goodies and Glass. Kevin, this seems like a good day to tell people that it's always 420 at Buddy's. If you need to go celebrate 420, go to Buddy's.
We've got Monday Night Football tonight over on 1090. Tampa Bay and the Giants will get things going. Why is it on 1090? Because we've got Husky basketball here on 950 KJR Washington. And is it George Mason? Is
that who they're playing? Yes.
Yeah. Cougs play tonight as well. They are 4-0. They'll take on Winthrop 6 o'clock on the Pac-12 Network. Huskies 2-2 on the season, trying to get above 500. Football this week, Apple Cup, Friday, 5 o'clock. 1 o'clock pregame here on 950 KJR with the Honks, Softy, and the crew. If you want to win tickets, text your first, actually, Apple, then your first, last name, and hometown to 49451. Give it away all day tomorrow. More on that a little bit later on the show, but you can go ahead and text that right now. Real Salt Lake and the Sounders MLS playoff game tomorrow, 7:30 kick, 7 o'clock pregame on 1090 because we have Husky basketball.
Correct.
Whatever tournament they're playing in. And let's see, what else do we got? Yeah, Seahawks lost, we know. Good. All right, Mike Sando in about 10 minutes. Before we get to Sando, it's the Monday after, and it's a Monday after that nobody in this town is used to because it's been so damn long since this position that they're in right now has existed. You know, if you go back to 2012, they lost Thanksgiving weekend to the Seahawks to the Miami Dolphins in Miami. Remember the sprinkler game, sprinklers turned on, all that goofiness?
Yeah.
And they came, but and they faced really kind of a win-out situation the rest of the way. They went the next week to Chicago to take on a good Bears team, really good Bears team that year. And they went there, and they won in overtime.
Was that a Sidney Rice game?
Sidney Rice got just clocked at the goal line and scored in overtime.
Yeah.
But it was a game in which Russell Wilson's magic first really kind of appeared. And he had what appeared to be a game-winning drive late, went 80 yards, and you're like, damn, this guy is special. Like, just, I mean, it was zip, 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 thanks for coming, ran a lot, and got down. They scored with about a minute left to go. And the defense gave up a big play on a long pass by, Cutler, I think, was quarterback then.
Yeah, I think so.
And it gave a long pass, and then, you know, Robbie Gould, who's never missed a field goal against Seattle ever, hits a long field goal. They go to overtime. Seattle wins the toss, and they just go down the field in a clinic. And I remember afterwards talking to Max Unger, and he said, because we did a post game, and I remember talking to Russell afterwards, and Russell's like, it was Russell. I was like, oh, you know, I just wanted the ball. I just wanted, what the hell, we'll just go down and score. You know, typical Russell stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, come on, man. What are you talking about? And so I talked to Max Unger off the air. And I said, did he really? He's like, yeah, man. And it's weird. We all just looked at him and believed him. Like, it was just like, that's when he got the team, that day. He's never looked back until now. Something's different. Something's off. Something isn't right. Hugh called him a offensive coordinator killer. And, you know, I said, what's next to fix this? There's, softy term, everything's on the table. Well, here's what's on the table. Change at the head coaching position, which is also a president of football ops position, basically.
The number one guy in the whole freaking franchise.
In Pete Carroll. Change at the GM position in John Schneider. Or a change at the quarterback position because of what that entails in terms of being able to recoup draft picks, clear up some cap space maybe, and everything else. I've always been hesitant. I hate the thought of Russell Wilson, A, playing for another team, and B, going somewhere and just thriving and getting rid of a tier, what, you know, as Sando calls him, and I think everyone would agree, a tier one quarterback. You know, everyone has a starting quarterback. Not everybody has a starting quarterback. It's the same thing as the number one starter in baseball. You all have a guy at the top of your rotation, but he may not be a number one guy. Maybe about 12, 13, 14 teams on an average year feel really good about their quarterback in the NFL. We thought that was the case here, and it's been that way since 2012. It's not that way right now. It just isn't. Add into the fact that you're going to have off-season drama again. It's a guarantee. With his agent, with Mark Rogers, it is a guaran-freaking-tee it's going to have. In fact, I would be expecting it any second now. That stuff will leak out and whatever that might be. Whatever the drama will be, Mark Rogers is the king of that. Russell doesn't get his hands dirty, but Rogers will get stuff out there. He'll give stuff to Mike Silver. I don't know. He's actually sort of saying, where's he at now? He'll give it to whoever, right? It won't even be to like Rapp or Schefter or Garofalo. It would be like some secondary guy to leak it out. You don't need that. But here's where I go back to. And we'll talk to Mike in depth about it in a few minutes because he wrote a great piece in The Athletic today and kind of went through where Russell is. 8-9 the last 17 games, just a full season. I mean, the numbers are off, and they are throwing over those last 17 games in early downs in the first 28 minutes of a game at a very high rate, top 10 rate in the NFL. So it's not like Pete Carroll has put the brakes and the seatbelt on and said, no, we're not going to let Russ cook. That's not correct in any way, shape, or form. And Mike spelled that out well. But he's not getting the job done. There's a lot of holes on this roster. The offensive line has massive holes. Dwayne Brown's nearing the end of his career. They don't have a left tackle in waiting. I don't think Jamarco Jones is that guy. Brendan Schell struggled at right tackle this year. They don't have a center. They don't have an elite pass rusher. I think someday Daryl Taylor could be really good, but he's not that guy yet. They've got cornerback issues. And, I'm sick to my stomach for Trey Brown, man. Just awful. I mean, and he's a good player. He's a really good player. That's a good draft pick, by the way. I mean, knee injury notwithstanding, that was a good pick.
And those don't happen all the time.
Not lately. He's a good pick. But they've got a lot of holes in this roster. Next season, the Seahawks, they don't have a first. They got a second, a third, two fourths, a fifth, and a seventh. They don't have a sixth. So they don't have a first. They don't have a sixth. They have two fourths. They need to get this thing going again. And here's why I think you have to trade Russell Wilson. I think that is the easiest, and right now, in a win-now league, is the best solution to get things back on track in the immediate future. You have to trade Russell Wilson. And I never thought I'd say those words. First of all, the drama is going to exist again. What happened last year with him throwing his offensive line under the bus, I have to think there's a lingering effect, one. But two, he's not as effective as he has been. If it's just broken here in Seattle and he thrives somewhere else, then great. That's someone's a miracle worker because three offensive coordinators later, it's not working here. He's not recognizing. He's not playing well. A lot of the offensive issues, the majority of the offensive issues are on him. But here's a great thing. He's still thought of as an elite quarterback. And what do we know about NFL coaches? They all have massive egos. And someone's out there is going to say, hell yeah, Russell Wilson's still got it. Pete's a dummy. Waldron's a dummy. Let's bring him in here. Yeah, he's worth two or three, you know, first-round draft picks. And we'll turn him around. And we'll get him playing like he should be playing. But he's not playing that way anymore. He doesn't run the football. And he's not recognizing and throwing it well either. The best way to get this thing going is to recoup some of those draft picks, load up at the top of the draft, and try to get that roster back to where it needs to be.
Is there any chance in your mind, if they traded, and Mike's waiting, so I shouldn't really be even talking now.
We can talk about the other side.
If they traded Russell, why would Pete even stick around?
Because, that's a question only Pete Carroll can answer. I'm assuming that Pete Carroll doesn't want to just retire and resign after this year. I'm basing it on he wants to fulfill the contract and maybe, just maybe, take one more kick at the can. Right? He's the youngest 70-year-old I know.
Right, but
I mean,
he's still 70.
But I'm just saying that's – I don't look at his age.
But, like, I'm saying it's not his age. Like, right now he's not. But, like, when you're at that point and you're at that level as a coach, do you really want to start again?
I don't know if you're not starting again.
How?
You're starting again with a quarterback, which right now I'd make the argument it's the biggest position of need. Let's get Mike on.
Live from the Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 950 KJR, this is our weekly conversation with Mike Sando from The Athletic, brought to you by Cascade Ice. New from Cascade Ice, caffeinated sparkling water. A kick of caffeine without sugar, calories, or carbs. Now, Mike Sando on your home for the 12th man in the NFL. Seattle's Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Big thanks to our friends at Cascade Ice Water. Mike Sando joins us right now on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm doing better than you. You're already selling the franchise. You're boarding up the windows.
No. Just I'm a very simple process. I think they got to move the quarterback, and I'll get to that here in a second. Let me first tell people about you need a caffeine kick today? How about a Wired energy drink loaded with 344 milligrams of caffeine from our friends at Cascade Ice Sparkling Water? It's available in your local grocery stores. Also, you can go to the Cascade Ice Sparkling Water with 160 milligrams of caffeine if you only need half of the amount of caffeine. I don't know. I need probably double today along those lines. You spelled it out really well today. I thought in the pick six piece, it's pretty simple. I mean, the Seahawks have been better on the defensive side of the football, maybe yesterday notwithstanding, special teams as well. But in the last 17 starts, the quarterback, Mike, just has not played well, has he?
No, that's the kind of the concerning part. And I realize the finger injury derailed the ability to get some continuity going this year. But, yeah, I see that as the jumping off part, really, that Buffalo game last year. All the way down the stretch, they didn't really have answers. It was supposedly, you know, and I think Pete Carroll agreed, you know, coaching. They were going to need to be able to adjust better. Seemed like they did early this season, but they just haven't been able to sustain. I actually think the remainder of the season is really important because I think there's still an evaluation to be made in terms of before I would get to that place where you are of they got to trade the quarterback because right. Usually in the past the frustrations of Seattle have been resolved by sort of hitting a gear at some point in the season and having success in the end, right? Mm-hmm. This is probably the first season they're going to have a losing record.
Yep.
With Russell Wilson. And so how he plays down the stretch, does he recapture it a little bit? Do they hit stride in a week or two and really start putting up 30 points again? Because that wouldn't be the biggest shock in the world to me. If you watched the game yesterday, as hard as it wasn't like Green Bay where he was throwing it bad. You know, I didn't think he was missing guys by 10 yards or anything of that. So I want to see those games. I want to see how he plays because I don't want to just throw that out to be like every other team that has a bunch of draft picks like the Miami Dolphins have had the last few years, right?
Right.
Those draft picks are those you want Tua?
Well,
you want a choice between Tua, yeah. Darnold, and Zach Wilson? Is that what you're going for?
Well, and here's the issue. As I, you know, when I bring that up, because I know what the counter is as well, is that they haven't drafted well in the last few years, right? I mean, it's
haven't drafted as well as they did when they were hitting the lottery every time. Yeah.
I mean, they were just everything was coming up, you know, aces. I mean, they were flying along there, and you know, the last five drafts, I kind of went through it. I mean, Eskridge, Brown, Forsyth this year. I mean, D. Eskridge is a. That's a head scratcher why he's not involved in the offense now that he's healthy. Brooks, Taylor, Damian Lewis, DK, Amadi, Barton, Green, Disley, Dixon, Carson, Posick. Those are the top guys from the last five drafts. You know, none of those guys are Hall of Famers. Carson's your best player probably in DK among them. But, yeah, I mean, there is no guarantee that you're going to do what you've done in the past at the start of this regime, right? But I don't know, Mike. It just feels like something's not right with him. And if you can recoup something and here's why I brought up trading the quarterback. I don't know if you were listening to what I said earlier. My thing is, I still trust the coach and the GM. They're the most successful team.
You're the last guy in Seattle.
I know.
Because I live outside of the Seattle city. Yeah. You're the last guy in Seattle.
Well, I do because what they've done here is they've built something. You just said it. They've never had a losing season since Russell got here, and they've built something special that we've never seen in this city before. Right? I mean,
yeah.
I still, if they're having a bad year and a bad couple drafts, I still trust what those two guys can do.
Yeah. I mean, I think they don't have the draft capital to fix the team this next offseason, but they are going to have a lot of cap space. And so what I see, I like the stuff about just Pete Carroll coming back. I mean, unless he was fired or something, which I don't think would happen.
No.
He's not retiring. I mean, he's making reportedly $11 million a year for the next 4 years. Mm. I mean, who's walking away from that?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, if that was
that answer 2 years
question,
yeah.
old, if that was my dad doing that, I'd be saying, Dad, what are you doing? I want that. I'm going to inherit that money, right, someday. So, and plus, what else is he going to do? He's not going to go golf or just do nothing. I mean, this guy's chewing gum 24 hours a day. Even when he's asleep, I bet you he's chewing gum, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So this is what he wants to do. They're going to have a bunch of cap space, and they're going to take a swing at it, I think, in the offseason. Now, the evaluation on Wilson is really critical. Important part of it, how he handles things, how they're feeling about things internally. Do they feel like they want to keep going with him? Does it become untenable behind the scenes like it did last offseason?
Right.
I think that's all part of this and how he plays to decide before we get there, you know. And I wouldn't necessarily be you may be leaning one way or the other, but I think you got to see the rest of this thing play out and see how he handles it and how he plays he's got.
You hit a lot of stuff, Mike, that I talked about earlier. I agree with a lot of what you're saying, and behind the scenes stuff, like how uncomfortable does it get this year? I mean, there's no doubt that his agent seems to like to make things uncomfortable at times, and at what point do you just cut and move on? Now, that's what's going on here in Seattle. Let's look around the rest of the league. The Mike Sando pick six column. This is a crazy-ass year. I mean, I wish Seattle was better and more involved with what will be a crazy playoff race with the 17-game schedule and the seven teams and all that. What'd you take away from the Colts and the Bills yesterday?
Well, number one, it has been a crazy year where the underdogs are winning more than ever before. Even double-digit underdogs have won more than before, especially in the last month. But it's interesting. You talk about the importance of the running game, and it's a sore, tired subject in Seattle. And I actually think Pete Carroll gets a little bit of a bad rap for basically saying what Kyle Shanahan and all the other coaches are saying. But when you watch that game and you see Jonathan Taylor doing what he was doing as a special runner and limiting Carson Wentz to only having to throw 20 times, continuing the no turnover formula, where last year at this point Carson Wentz has 19 turnovers, he has 6 this year. And the game's just easier. And you look at Buffalo, good team, good defense, good quarterback, but nothing to hang their hat on when it becomes harder to throw the ball or when you need that balance and people don't fear your run game. Kansas City's gone through that a little bit this year too.
Yep.
You can be less consistent. So I'm all about you have to maximize your quarterback in the passing game, but I really think having a balanced offense that can do both and being able to run the ball is a critically important part to playing cohesive football where you're – look at Seattle this year. They got like 200 fewer plays than their opponent, something like that.
It's insane.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Way fewer than before. So they've got to find that back, and I know that's going to be part of the fixed plan for Pete Carroll. What we don't know is where's the quarterback going to be in that? And I think if you look at Buffalo, they're going to have to address that and get that for their team. To really elevate their offense and make it easier for their quarterback.
I know analytics are a four-letter word for many football fans that want to watch the NFL and just kind of keep track of fantasy and do all their thing. But you had an interesting point today about the analytics involved with what the Eagles are doing right now. And let me point out that as we talk about running the football and how important it can be, tell people about the turnaround the Eagles have made from early in the year to right now based on analytics and, God forbid, running the football. Yeah.
Well, and the smart people in analytics don't think you should pass every play. I mean, they really don't. I mean, but they think don't just run it all the time, especially in second and long, because you're going to be in third and long. So, and I agree with that. So there's a balance clearly in there. What's interesting to me about the Eagles is they have been at the forefront in the league of investing in analytics and numbers people. And so have the Ravens, for that matter. And so you have these two franchises that are all in that area. And usually we hear about, it's all about leveraging the pass game, but those two teams have really gone all in running the ball. And what's so amazing about Philly is it's just been the last 4 or 5 games. They went from being the pass heaviest team early downs, early in the games, the first part of the season, to the run heaviest. And it's really helped and played to the strengths of their quarterback. I don't know if you saw the run he had yesterday where he cut back in and made some elite athlete look like Mike Sando and Ian Furness trying to he made the guy fall down. This is a pro NFL athlete.
Yep.
Probably the best athlete all of his friends have ever seen, right? Mm-hmm. And just crumpled him. So they have found that playing the strengths of your players is the key to everything. And if we bring this back to Seattle, I think if we're being honest, as good as Russell Wilson's been, he's been at his best when people had to defend the run too. And what quarterback isn't?
Yep.
And
well,
so
the Carson injury. Yeah.
The Eagles have done it to an extreme that, look, I don't know if you want to sign up for that forever, but they've done it to an extreme that really helps their quarterback who isn't on the level, hasn't played long enough to really develop as a passer. So that's the story from there, but I think there's lessons from that can apply to everybody.
Pick 6 column is available at The Athletic, theathletic.com, including a bit on there about the Bears losing to Tyler Huntley, who played in the Pac-12 and, frankly, never scared anybody when he was at Utah. It was kind of thought to be one of the weakest parts of the Utah Utes back then. So he came up with a big win yesterday as well. So, my friend, great stuff. Thank you. The Pick 6 column, check it out at theathletic.com. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, thank you.
That's Mike Sando, and again, brought to you by our good friends at Cascade Ice Sparkling Water. 160 milligrams of caffeine, no carbs, sugar, or sodium. And if you're looking for more of a kick, grab a Wired Energy drink loaded with 344 milligrams of caffeine, available at your local grocery stores. We'll check the texts when we come back.
Now back to Ian Furness on your home for the 12th man in the NFL. Seattle's Sports Radio 950, KJR, and free on the iHeartRadio app.
All right, let's get some text. 49451 on the Coors Light text line. 49451.
You know, Ian, they're keeping Seattle chill.
That's
Did
what
you know
I
that?
Hear. A lot of conversation. What next for your Seattle Seahawks after yesterday's loss? Keith Miller, our buddy Keith. What the H-E double hockey sticks? Man who yells at clouds wanted OBJ and now trade the franchise. Must have changed his shampoo because the hair sounds like he's lost his calm. Yeah. I've been on this waiting all year. I mean, I know we missed the three games, but have we not all been waiting all year? Hey, Russ is going to – it's magic's coming. Here comes the magic. Here comes the magic.
It's not unreasonable to think that he would return to form at some point. He just hasn't. And
he's 8-9 over his last 17.
Yeah.
It's not like it's just the last three or four games. It this whole second half of last season, the playoff game, right? Do I need to remind people how he looked in the playoff game? He has the two most prolific wide receivers in the franchise's history. One set a record for yards, one set a record for catches. And how off? Tyler Lockett had three plays yesterday that were big plays, explosive plays. Metcalf had none. And Lockett's two of the three plays, I think, were broken plays that Tyler makes because he's special.
What is it? It's interesting you bring that up. Like, honestly, that does make you look back at some of his greatness, maybe through a different lens, where you're like, how much of his greatness has been exclusively through those broken plays?
Well, according, if you listen to Cosell closely, a lot of it.
And so if that's the case, then is it impossible to build an offense for him?
Sure looks like he's unwilling to run, too. And I think that's a huge part of what he is.
That is definitely a problem. 253.
Yep.
Not only did McCoy throw better, he looked more nimble and much faster than Russ.
Oh,
quick decisions, in and out of the pocket. He looked like he was willing to risk his body to win. No ducking before getting sacked by McCoy. This is a joke what we're allowing. It's been going on a long time. Russ has lost a step or two, and it greatly affects his off-script play, and now his confidence is shot.
Yeah, I really can't speak to whether or not he's truly lost a step or two. As hard as he works on conditioning and everything else, I think it's more he's just unwilling to take off and go. And he'll duck and just absorb, you know, just kind of basically go to the ground. He just doesn't, it doesn't, and when was the last time we saw a designed run?
I don't remember everything like others do, but I don't remember.
Pete would love to start over with a kid, says the 425, who wanted to be coached like Russ was 10 years ago instead of the know-it-all he is now. They should trade DK, too, and get 2 to 3 draft picks for him to accelerate the rebuilding long-term. We'll miss DK more than Russ, but we can't pay him $20 million either. See, I think...
Everything's on the table, Ian.
Everything's on the table. I liked starting with the two wide receivers they have. I mean, look at Minnesota. Those two guys make Kirk Cousins look good. Did you see the number I put up earlier that ESPN had and compared it to Russ?
Which one was that?
The numbers between... So, Kirk Cousins in the last two games throwing to Thielen and Jefferson. Really good wide receivers, right? Like, really good wide receivers. 459 yards. 30 for 39, 459 throwing just to those two guys. Last two games, Wilson throwing to Lockett and DK. You can make an argument every bit as good as those two guys. 13 of 29, 195 yards. No touchdowns. Think about that.
Yep.
Use your guys. Use your guys. All right, give me one more before we get to factor fiction.
360. So we have a quarterback who's gone through more offensive coordinators than Buck Rogers. That was a joke. Have we thought about this to where maybe it's our quarterback that's the issue? Go Cougs. I mean, that's sort of what we've done about this.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Let's go.
It's time for fact.
Just the fact. Jack. Just the fact.
Or fiction, powered by the Emerald Queen Casino, the entertainment capital of the Northwest.
Kevin Shockey.
I don't want to.
Do it anyway. Recap.
Picks on this show, bad. Picks on 10 to 1 show, bad. Picks on the morning show and the afternoon show last week, very good. But not very good on this show. Ian, we are the worst show for making picks this year as of now.
We fell behind the morning show?
Yes.
How? What did you do to me last week?
I went 0-2. You went 1-2, okay? Get off my back, you jerk.
I got to win. Huskies killed me. What was the other one that I lost?
You lost the Seahawks and you lost the Huskies. Maybe you need to stop riding the Seahawks.
Yeah, well, trust me. I'm not doing that today.
Oh, my goodness.
Plus, they don't play until next Monday. So
what a disaster.
Yeah. Whatever. We move on.
By the way, you are talking with the worst picker on the station right now. I'm sorry.
Wait, you're below Chuck?
Yep.
What the hell happened to you?
I know. Dude, below Chuck, we have... I mean, you are too.
I am?
We have six people below Chuck.
Oh, my God.
Chuck is now 10-11. He's gone 5-0 his last 3 weeks.
We live in a world in which Chuck Powell's picking games at a higher rate of success than we are, and Russell Wilson is one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL.
Just text
that
in fiction.
Is the world. That's the world we live in. Oh, you don't want to text in fiction on this one.
I already do.
Here we go.
Whatever. I think the whole station's going to be wrong all week.
I'm going to recap something for you.
Oh, boy.
Earlier, we morning show took Tampa Bay and Giants over 50, whatever. Boring. What a boring-ass pick. Anyway, Puck jumped on it, and he's right. I would have snatched it up. He jumped on it. Wazoo -1 against the Huskies. That's off the table.
Yeah.
So I'm going with the second most important game in the Pacific 12 Conference this week, Kevin. You know what game that is?
It must be a game that Oregon State's playing.
Well, it's a game that Oregon State and Oregon are playing.
Isn't that amazing?
You know why it is? This is for all the marbles.
Man.
Oregon State... and Oregon. That's a 12:30 kickoff on Saturday. By around 4 o'clock, the Cougs could be headed to the Pac-12 championship game.
But they still need to win.
Win on Friday, and they get a Beavs win on Saturday. And they're going to go play the University of Utah Utes in Vegas the following Friday. By the way, I will be off that day. Oregon is favored by 7. Doesn't matter. Jonathan Smith and company. I think Ken Simonton's going to come out of retirement. Bring back Ocho Cinco. They got Stiletto, man. The big guy. The hammer, they call him. Have you seen the hammer? Their quarterback, Wildcat guy. Real Wildcat quarterback. Like, actually, is 6'4 and 240. Oregon State plus 7. Fact, 49451. I'm rooting hard for you, Oregon State. And here's the thing. Nobody likes Oregon. Why in the hell would you pick fiction here? You don't want to root for anything that it has to do with Oregon, right?
Two words for you, Ian. What? Track record.
Oregon State.
Picking track record.
Oh, didn't Oregon State not win the game last year? They did.
I'm talking about this show.
Anyway, Oregon State plus 7. Oregon State plus 7. Beavs plus the 7. Fact, 49451.
How do you spell fiction?
F-A-C-T. Your next Husky head coach is going to get a win in the game formerly known as the Civil War. Immediately afterwards, sign that contract with Jen Cohen. I'm so happy to have him here. Jonathan Smith returns back to Washington, leaves his alma mater after a win over the Ducks. Beavers plus 7. Go with the underdog. Fact, 49451. If you disagree, fiction.
We've received your text of fiction for the Monday Furness Factor Fiction.
What a jerk. What are the early numbers telling us?
Oh, I'm sure it's going to be all fiction, Ian. Nah, it's probably going to be fact.
Yeah, right. What do we got? We'll get some early numbers.
Early results, Ian.
Yep.
50-50.
What?
50-50.
Let me emphasize this again.
One more on fact. Two more on fiction.
Let me emphasize this. We are asking you to to root for the Beavers over the Ducks by texting FACT 49451. And you get 7 points to play with. Why would you root for the Ducks? I know it's $1,000.
Ian, this isn't rooting, buddy.
It's a $1,000 weekly prize, $10,000 grand prize, courtesy of the Emerald Queen Casino, 49451. FACT 49451, Beavs plus 7.
For your sake, I hope you're right.
I do too.
They're gonna lose. They're gonna lose by 6. So you'll be right.
Lots got to happen this weekend. We'll check in with Softy. Speaking of the EQC down there, he'll join us next.
52%.
Now back to Ian Furness on your home for the 12th man in the NFL. Seattle's Sports Radio 950, KJR, and free on the iHeartRadio app.
Beavs plus 7 facts. Got a couple more moments to text that in. 49451 if you like Oregon. Minus 7, then it'll be fiction. 49451.
53.3% fact, Ian.
Damn right.
By the way, this is a great week to play because there are only 11 windows this week.
Oh, wait.
Higher percentage chance for you to win.
And so Dick Fane won't complain about not having any games to pick, Softy, later in the week.
No, we'll complain about it.
Because you guys only have two games. You only have 2 days. You have today and tomorrow.
It doesn't really matter because, let's face it, this thing is over. It's over. All right? You clowns had your shot. You tried to rig the entire contest, which we, you know, we established months ago,
you
weeks
bitched
ago.
Constantly, yes, yes.
We were going to play this under protest.
Yes.
But
are you still playing under protest? Are you still playing under protest?
Yeah, we are.
Okay.
Because we want people to know that a 7-game lead probably should be about a 50-game lead in fact or fiction.
Well, we had a tough week last week.
I know you did. I know you did, pal.
We had a 1-4 week.
I felt
disaster.
Bad for you.
One of us had a win on this show, and his name was not Kevin, by
the
way.
Well, you were going to – you took the Hawks, right?
And the Huskies.
And you took them when they were getting points, right? The Seahawks?
I don't remember, and it didn't matter because they lost by 10.
Yeah,
and
well,
and I took your college football team.
Yeah, well, I could have told you not to do that.
If I looked at the box score, I would have thought I would have won that one going away.
That's the thing, and that's the thing, honestly, that would make me a little bit nervous if I were you for this game on Friday. Just a little bit.
Oh, listen, man.
Just a little bit.
Everything about Friday makes me nervous.
Yeah. Well, that's because you're a smart guy.
I mean,
you're not a moron.
I mean, we're playing for something.
Beat 8 years in a row, man. What the hell?
We're playing for the Pac-12 title game because our boys, the Beavs, are going to take out the Ducks the next day.
I don't know about that either.
I think that's going to happen.
Yeah. I don't think so.
That's going to very much happen. I can't wait.
What's your fact or fiction record again?
It's really, really good.
I would feel bad taking the Beavers coming. I tell you what, if I'm Jonathan Smith, I don't like playing the Beavers coming off that loss.
The Ducks,
or the Ducks.
No,
sorry,
yeah.
Coming off that loss. My
God,
they might be
done. They might just be so devastated and not playing for much anymore.
I mean, it's possible. It's possible that they had their sights set on the Final Four the entire year. Which, let's face it, man, they were never going to the Final Four. And I saw that when they played us. That's not a very good football team, okay? I mean, Washington almost beat them, for God's sakes. And we stink.
Well, you do. That's true. I'm still stunned how they beat Ohio State, a team that just actually still might have scored again on Michigan State while we've been talking here.
Well, I will tell you exactly how they beat Ohio State. September versus November.
Yeah.
End of story. Things change. I mean, go ask the 2010 Huskies about that. They got clocked by Taylor Martinez in Nebraska at Husky Stadium in 2010. Saw that same Nebraska team in the Holiday Bowl and held them to 7 points. So things change in this game.
That's what's giving us hope. We lost to Utah earlier this year. We should go down to Vegas and beat them without a problem, just like you just mentioned with Nebraska and Washington.
Well, you're not going to win this game on Friday, so forget about it.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. What a bet? Let's bet.
I don't bet. You know,
let's
I don't
make
bet
a side
the apple. Nope. You know, I don't bet the apple cup.
What do you mean you don't bet the apple cup?
I've been here for 15 years.
What's wrong with you?
And the last time I did it was with Woodward, and it did not work out well.
Loser needs to eat a bucket of cat food.
No, I'll let you
have some pumpkin pie.
I'll let you and Puckett do that. And last time I remember that, I was driving somewhere home, and I remember hearing you throw up on the air.
Yes, exactly.
Awesome.
Yes,
yeah.
I had the cat food in my throat, and I threw up.
Was that the last time the Cougs won?
It has to be. I mean, it's been 9 years, man. Come on.
I bet it has.
You
I
were,
what,
68 the last time they won?
45.
Is that right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's...
Is that right, 45?
No, I don't know. I have no idea.
So you were three years younger than I am now.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
Kevin was
know.
12 the last time the Cougars won an Apple Cup.
Who was?
Kevin was.
No, Kevin...
Jackson was 4.
Well, that might be true. That actually
could be
true.
Here's the thing. So Dick's son, Dixon, is 11. Is that right? So he was 3 the last time the Huskies lost an Apple Cup. So he has no conscious memory at all of the Cougars winning the Apple Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Puckett's kid, Owen, is what, 7, 8? Is that right? How old is Owen?
Sounds right, 7 or 8.
So he's never seen it in his lifetime.
Yeah.
You know, and it's been so long for you that, you know, your brain is now broken since then.
My brain's broken because I watched that Seahawk game in person yesterday. That's why my brain's broken.
Oh, God, dude. What
actually,
the
my
hell?
Brain's broken
well,
from watching every game.
Softy, you know what's on the table?
You know what this is? It's 2009, dude. Seriously, it's 2009 all over again. It's the last time the Hawks were 3-7. Mm-hmm. It's the last time the Huskies had a losing record. It was 2009.
And everything's on the table, sir.
Everything is on the table.
What's on the show?
Everything is on the show.
Everything's on the show
same
and
thing
on the
as
table.
The table. Joe Klatt is going to be with us. Mike Holmgren is going to be with us. We're going to hear from Pete Carroll from yesterday and today and a little bit from Bob Gregory getting ready for the Huskies and George Mason, which anybody who's a Husky fan who knows a Husky fan knows why the George Mason name elicits bad memories for dog fans.
Mike Hopkins about that?
What's that?
You said Bob Gregory talking about George Mason?
No, we're going to talk. No, there's a Husky basketball game tonight at 6 o'clock.
Right.
We're going to hear from Bob Gregory in the coach's box.
Oh, I thought you said Bob Gregory talking about George Mason. I'm like,
no,
what?
I'm talking about George Mason tonight at 6 p.m. against the Dogs.
Okay.
Jesus, Kevin, come on.
I was confused.
Get off the air. Leave the talking to the professionals.
You are. Oh, yeah.
You just push buttons
you
back
are
there.
You are getting old. We're all getting old. All right. So Softy, Fane, everything's on the table.
Yes, it is.
It's next.